This is the Audio Class Experience.
Hey everybody, hope you're doing very well. This is a series that I'm making with two other people. It's about disruptive businesses that we find potentially interesting that can be very groundbreaking in the future. And this was a podcast that I made. It was a bit long, so I decided to make a mini-series of a few episodes. And I'm going to start off talking about the business that I found very interesting. And I hope that you guys enjoy it. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 36 of the Audio Class Experience. Today I've got with me two new guests where we're going to talk about three pretty disruptive businesses that we think can have some pretty serious potential growth in the future, and businesses that really caught our attention, and I think that you guys are going to find it pretty interesting, because I'm sure that you guys have heard about Facebook, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, Google, and all these very famous companies, also known as FANG for short. They're very groundbreaking businesses that manage to innovate tremendously well, take up a lot of market share, and they manage to introduce themselves into their respective niches, and they manage to dominate those markets pretty well. And I think that we found some pretty interesting businesses that we think may potentially become market leaders, very dominant in their respective niches. So I bring to you Pedram Asadi and Edwin Gallego. Say hi, guys.
Hi. How are you?
Edwin, would you like to begin?
Yes. I just want to introduce myself to this podcast. And yeah, I'm just a student in the UK studying law. And I'm really interested in the world of finance. So that's why I joined here. And I can't wait to get started. So thank you for having me.
No problem, Edwin.
My name is Pedram. I am a law student and I'm Persian myself. I lived in four different countries. I have a deep passion for business and I'm thankful that Rodrigo invited me to my first podcast. I've never done this before. I've always listened to it. So I'm excited to see how this goes, and I hope you enjoy listening to me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm sure they will, actually. And I think I'll start off with the first business. It's a business that I actually found on TikTok. I was scrolling through my feed and I found this guy who was talking about a website where you can actually invest in startups as if you were a venture capitalist or an angel investor in these like very typical sort of Silicon Valley, these unicorn companies that are very typical, that are involved in tech. And this guy said, he showed this business called Blue, and it's very interesting. And you can go in there and actually invest in a business that you think is pretty interesting and worth investing in. So this company is called Blue. It's a business card created by a company that's legally known as Follow Me Incorporated. That's from Riverside, which is a county in California, and founded in 2016. They managed to tap into the so-called ambient networking market for building connections with people. And they came up with a business card that you can use by tapping it onto other people's phone, and automatically some of your personal details will show up, such as social media profile, your bio, your profile picture, payments like Venmo or PayPal in case someone wants to give you some money, or your Spotify account as well. And there's many more things that you can share as well, Pinterest, etc. And if they click on the links to your social media profiles, they'll be redirected to them immediately. And people can see this without even having the Blue business card or the app. And this app can introduce you to people within a 150 feet, or what's the same as 46 meter radius around you. And it turns the smartphone into a two-way beacon that connects you with everyone else. So you passively exchange social networks, and there's no need to ask one by one for social media profiles. And the app also creates a record of who you've met and who you've talked to. And even though it's automatic, you control the information that you want to share. It uses Bluetooth low energy so that it doesn't drain your battery life, and you can use it even though you don't have any signal, and allows you to connect with anyone, anywhere, anytime. So this really helps people build relationships by combining the digital with the physical. The card itself uses NFC technology, near field communication chips, which is what allows the card and the app to detect other users and make sure that when making connections, the other people also have the phones that are compatible with NFC chips. There's a whole list of them, of compatible phones with NFC chips, but maybe the older ones, they don't have this kind of technology, but the new ones and the ones coming do. And at the moment, they're compatible with 65 different phone models and are available on the App Store and Google Play. And according to republic.co, there are over 50,000 users on the Blue Network interacting with over 10,000 people each day. Their goal for 2020 is to reach 10 million social interactions. However, I think this is going to be a little bit more difficult because of everything that's going on, but maybe this can be possible with events going on in Zoom, for example. If you want to buy it, you go on blue.social. It costs about $35. I'm not an affiliate, so I'm not sponsoring or anything. This is just something I find interesting, but it's there. You then download the app and you fill in all your details and you finally activate the card. And when you walk past people, you get a notification on your screen that says the name, comma, wants to be social. So it says the name of the person. Their customers include business to consumers, students, business owners, business professionals, recruiters, social media users, and also business to business retail for shopping malls, brand stores, convenience stores, gas stations, also business to business hospitality, businesses that entertain or receive guests, such as hotels, casinos, restaurants, bars, nightclubs, schools, vacations, stadiums, convention centers, airports, etc. And they also have customers in the business to government space, such as government, smart cities, safety, security, transportation, advertising, insurance, code enforcement, and regulatory applications. So what do you guys think about this company? Do you guys think this is a pretty interesting company? Do you guys like the idea? I think it's innovative.
Yeah, absolutely. I read about that company. And I really like the idea that all the users don't need to have the app to interact with other people. I think that's a really, really cool feature they have. And I think that would be the future of social interactions, like making it easy for people, avoiding awkward silences, awkward moments, you sharing social media. And then if you just want to have a full chat with them, then you would just interact with them. So I think it's a really, really cool business.
True. Yeah, for sure. You can also use it basically in any moment. Like, it doesn't have to be a very formal thing. It can be something that you can use on your university campus or maybe at a party or at a wedding or any place where there is some kind of human interaction. So that's pretty good.
I have two concerns about this idea. I think it's a great idea, but isn't the market very big? And hasn't this idea been done before with other companies and hasn't been successful before? Why do you think this company will make it succeed?
Well, it's tapping into many markets. I think that's one of the main reasons why. I think that it's also tapping in, for example, into the business card business. Because there are, from what I found on the internet, 10 billion business cards are being printed each year. And I think that there was a statistic I saw that 88% of business cards within a week get thrown away. So that's a huge waste of paper. So it's great for the environment, of course. And I think it also improves the quality of interaction because it helps you to remember who you interacted with because the application keeps track and record of who you talk to so that you can refer back to them, communicate with them if you're interested in that particular person or particular people. What else was there? What did you ask?
The fact that it operates in a lot of markets could be a double-edged sword. It could be good because there's a lot of market here, there's a lot of revenue to be made, but at the same time there's a lot of competition. In my opinion, that competition thing could be a big problem. Just wanted to add another thing alongside that. It costs, the card costs £35.
Yes, dollars.
Dollars. Wouldn't that make it a bit less accessible for people who might be interested in this? Since this is a startup company, a lot of people might not be interested in buying a card like this if there is not enough users worldwide.
You can check out the reviews that a lot of affiliates and non-affiliates have made on YouTube. So you can see maybe physically and see people who have had first-hand experience. There are obviously reviews as well. And in general, the reviews are very good. It's just that there have been a few users where their only problem was that their mobile phone is not compatible with radio frequency technology or near-field communications technology. But that's because they're old phones. In the future, all phones are going to have this kind of this kind of technology integrated in the phone. But in terms of accessibility, in theory, they are growing. Like, there's not much. I haven't found much information in terms of their growth. I tried to go on their official website, and I haven't managed to find anything financially. But they have managed to raise a lot of capital from investors. They have attracted a lot of interest. They've raised a lot of money in their seed stage back in April of this year. And also they've raised their maximum goal, which is $1.07 million that they managed to raise in one round in a few months. And they managed to attract the interest of a very well-known investor called Tim Draper. He invested a total of, I think, well over $1.1 million. And he's the same guy who invested in companies such as Tesla, Skype, many unicorns. I have it over here somewhere.
Yeah, that's
SpaceX,
a really good
Twitch,
point.
Hotmail, Robinhood, and 23 other unicorns during their seed stage. So this guy, in theory, has a good eye for these kind of businesses. So that might be one reason why it attracts investors.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And adding to what Pedram said about competition, I think that business really stands out to other competitions, because if we take social interaction platforms like Facebook and we compare them to Blue, the only thing you can do with Facebook is just a digital-based networking with people. The fact that in Blue you can do some real-life interactions with people, connecting with people, is something you cannot do with Facebook, because you need that prior interaction of you asking that person, hey, what's your Facebook? Hey, what's your Twitter? Hey, exactly. What's your Snapchat? So Blue encompasses all of that.
And that space, the social networking and messaging apps, have actually grown 394% year on year. So it's a very interesting market still. And there's different types of social media apps that we do not know of that have been created and that will be created and that are created already. But it's just that we're so accustomed to just 4, 5, 6 different social media applications and networks that we don't know the actual ecosystem of social media, you know?
Let's say this idea grows and is very successful. Bigger businesses are going to look at this and they're going to want to implement it in their own business as well. For example, TikTok is very successful, and now Instagram and Facebook are implementing features that TikTok has onto their stories. So to get some revenue from that big market and tap into it. I would guess that the same would happen with Blue. For example, if LinkedIn and Microsoft hear about this, wouldn't they implement, and they would implement a certain barcode on their phone, kind of like Snapchat and how you connect with people on Snapchat. Wouldn't that be effectively the same as Blue, but on a more established platform like LinkedIn?
Do you believe that maybe Microsoft could integrate Blue into their platform?
Maybe even not integrate Blue, just do it themselves. Just add a barcode in the LinkedIn app where people could just use to scan another person's LinkedIn.
That's probably, I think, one of their main fears, I think, because Microsoft owns LinkedIn and, well, LinkedIn is a very established network in the professional world. And if they use something like this, they copy the idea and maybe even make something similar or even better. Or maybe in something that's not even as good, but it just takes away all the competition already from Blue. I think this can, you're right about this. I think this is probably one thing that this company needs to take into account. And what they have to do, and this is very difficult against a monopoly giant like Microsoft, is to actually differentiate themselves. It's a family business, so I think that this is a good thing, but also not such a good thing, because maybe they're not so open to external ideas, to external opinions, and hiring people who are specialists in other areas of business. Maybe they need someone who's very good at scaling businesses or avoiding monopoly power, or in some way improving their technical ability, or improving some way, revamping their app in such a way that it's so difficult to copy. And they also need to invest a lot in marketing, I think, so that they can actually like bring awareness. Because at the moment, I tried searching for the website, and it's actually pretty difficult to find it on Google. Relatively difficult, because they don't really rank very well in SEO. You have to use very specific keywords in order to find them. Like, for example, if you type in blue.social, they do rank in the first page of Google. But if you type in blue business card or digital business card or something like that, you would get American Express business card or some other fintech business offering their cards. You wouldn't see this company's, this product.
You know? One problem could be their name. Since it's blue, blue is such a common name. People exactly. search for colors, for a lot of things. So they're not going to be very high on the search list when someone searches blue. And another question I had was regarding patents. Have they patented any part of their idea?
Yes, they have. They do have a patent. Cutting edge patented technology. That's what it says here. So yes, they have a patent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah. What is the best thing? What future do you see with this idea? If this idea is implemented, how do you think that's going to change my daily life, for example, as a student wants to network with law professionals and attends a lot of those events?
Well, if you walk past the campus, or if you're in a hall with a lot of people and you get all these notifications, you're going to have a lot of options and information about people. Of course, it's difficult to select who you might be interested to talk to. You might be interested in the person right next to you, or someone, I don't know what law fairs might be like, or law events, but I'm sure that you may come across somebody, be it maybe distance, or someone you walk past to, or someone that gave a speech, mm-hmm. something, and you check their blue, and you can see all their social media, and then you may approach them and meet them in person, for example.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. And I see the idea of a law firm. I think it would actually change the way people recruit people. Because let's say an employer really is interested in someone they talk to in that evening or morning, they will really see that profile and see, oh, I really like this guy. I'm going to interact with this guy. Maybe I didn't like this guy because I don't think he's a future potential employer for a company. Mm-hmm. So interacting with people, meddling with other people could be a really good idea. Let's say I'm an employer and I really like the person I really talk to, then I will interact with them.
Right. And you would actually have that on record as well.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, I was wrong in saying not liking or just liking, like it's not something like that. It's just someone, oh, I'm interested in this person, I'm going to contact that person. So we are a way of getting in touch with them as a way of recruiting, I think.
Yeah.
And another thing I could add is it's good for law firms as well. Law firms, it's hard. It's kind of a hustle. When a law firm has a stand, and or even any business or any society has a sort of stand, either in a conference or in a law firm, and they want the people walking by or the people they've spoken to connect to their social media. It's difficult for them, that person, to go to each of the social medias. An easier way is to just have it use Blue, and in an instant, that person could connect and choose whatever social media they have, and then add them to it. You know,
I want to tell you guys actually a personal story that I just remembered. We had a talk from an entrepreneur in our business school here in Spain. He was a friend of one of the teachers, and he is basically a guy who owns a co-working space sort of company. So he like provides co-working spaces in some buildings in Madrid for people to meet and work and make connections. And the guy, when he finished his whole speech about his company, about his experience in entrepreneurship and all that, and his journey through school and all that in life, at the end, he said, like, it's really important that you guys take advantage in your youth to make connections. And then he started to ask random people in the room, you over there, do you know this person over there? And they were like, no, I don't know him. And he did the same with like several people. Do you know him? No. Do you know him? No. And he's like, what the hell, guys? Like, you're not taking advantage of making connections? There's like 80 of you inside the room. You guys don't know each other. And in that situation, I think Blue would be extremely useful. Because like I saw somebody I found pretty interesting. He was an Englishman who was doing his, he's an international student, so he's doing his Erasmus. And he was coming here, and he was a guy who's really into football. I'm really into football as well. And he wants to start his own like scouting company. And like I went to meet him and something like that. Because he spoke up, you know, and I found that really interesting. And I also spoke up. I talked about my podcast. And then someone came to me and asked me about my podcast and said, hey, that's really cool, you know. And yeah, I think that in a situation like that, for example, Blue would be pretty useful.
Yeah, completely agree.
So yeah, I think it's a very innovative idea. It's definitely does have a great value proposition. Because it replaces business cards, it's good for the environment, it improves human interaction. We tend to undervalue a lot of interaction, usually.
Yeah, well, it does replace business cards, but honestly, in the UK at least, I haven't seen a lot of people using business cards for anything. They just say, add me on LinkedIn. So what about those markets where business cards are not used widely?
Like I check the comments and reviews about it. It tends to be people who are interested in the product because they have their own business or they're professionals. And there's a lot of them who do say that, hey, I'm interested. And they ask maybe a question or two. So yeah, I think just because you don't see it, because I don't see people every day with business cards, you know, because I don't have a business and I don't deal with professionals or business people yet. But probably when we grow up and we do have to make a living in some way, we will encounter business cards and we'll have to make connections. You know?
And I think something that the business could do is, in order to enhance those connections, they can include a reward system in the application. So let's say you go to a networking event and you meet certain people. So the more connections you make, the more people you interact with, you can get a certain reward from it. And I think that adds to the motivation. And I think that could be a really good idea they could implement in the future. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I think they already have done that actually. Like, I think you can get paid for getting to know people.
That's good.
Well, how would that make a profit for them though? How is the business model there?
I think it's word of mouth, because they also have a lot of affiliates who spread the word about their product. And those affiliates get good commissions for every car that they manage to sell, for every click on their on the link. Like on YouTube, they're like, I've got this link here with a 10%, 20% discount. If you click it, that'll help me, whatever. And that's how they manage to spread word. And you might get a little amount, like tiny piece of a grain of, like equivalent to a grain of rice, you know, what you get paid probably, but it's enough. It's a way to market the business in some way, I think. But yeah, I mean, they do have a lot of potential income streams apart from selling the card, because they also produce white label cards for other businesses. It says powered by Blue, but it puts like the whole branding and all the colors of the of another company or brand, you know. Like for example, some dude who works in Google, well, he has his business card powered by Blue, but it's all Google branded with colors and stuff like that. They also have they have a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think they will get sponsored sooner or later. Like, I think they will introduce features of Blue card. Like, I even think social media platforms would want to appear in Blue. So I think that's what's going to happen in the future.
They also have a subscription kind of system. And there's in-app premium features and the micropayments. So users in the app can advertise. So that's more money for the company. There's also, they use beacon technology and subscriptions. So what happens is maybe people who walk past their favorite shops or restaurants, they get this notification on their phone that, hey, this place has discounts, has offers limited edition products. They get that, you know, on their phone as well.
Yeah, that's the thing we forgot to mention, because we were talking a lot about social interactions, but we haven't talked about getting information from other businesses. That's such a cool idea for businesses that want to get well-known in the market. Because say you go to a local town and there's a small business that wants to get well-known, you just go with that app and then you get everything from that business.
Exactly. And this is also proximity marketing, because people, well, businesses who are subscribed to a Bluetooth as a service through an API that includes hardware components that follow organizations to send custom messages to reach Blue app users nearby who have subscribed to the business or service. So they get like really specific made messages for people. So that way it's more customer centered. And that's obviously a good way of proximity marketing.
So it's kind of like Facebook ads, but for business companies.
Yeah,
and directed at business companies. I'm sure everybody who has this card is interested in expanding their business or their networks. And of course, they're going to put their details in. If they're a student, which area they operate in, what's their occupation, and what company it is. And that allows for much more direct marketing, which I think is very useful.
Yeah. So this company has a lot of growth potential and a very interesting business model, I think. And that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Hope that you enjoyed this episode, that you've learned a lot from it. Make sure to share this podcast and follow or subscribe to it if you haven't already. It would mean the world to me if you could write a review on Apple Podcasts, if you could rate it as well. Discuss what you've learned with the people around you. Listen to the episodes again so that you can retain knowledge better, because you learn better with repetition. Make sure to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and LinkedIn. You can find me as AudioClass or The AudioClass Experience. On LinkedIn, you can find me as Rodrigo Valverde. Thanks again for tuning into The AudioClass Experience. Hope to have you back next time. Have a wonderful day. See you. Bye. Welcome to a new episode of The Audio Investing Podcast, where we talk about engaging topics about investing, personal finance, and business. This show is hosted by Rodrigo Valverde. Hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Audio Investing Podcast, the best podcast to start off your investing journey towards financial independence, where we are bullish in value and
where you learn what I didn't teach you about investing. It's your host here, Rodrigo, and today we're going to learn about fintech and where the money is at as an industry and some stocks in particular. The way money is moving is changing. Fintech is a combination of words finance and technology, and it's a broad category made up of companies that apply new technology to financial businesses. For example, companies that develop new digital payment processing solutions are considered fintech, as are companies that build and operate person-to-person payment applications. Some of the services and products that fintech offer are payment processing, online and mobile banking, online and peer-to-peer, person-to-person payment, financial software, and financial services. The big banks have taken note on the growing influence that these fintechs are having within the financial sector, as they are managing to improve the customer experience and provide better solutions. So banks are starting to either adapt and create their own digital fintech ecosystem, or if they can't do anything better, they are working directly with them. The shift towards more consumer-oriented services is the reason why it's attracting so many people to even switch from banks to fintech. However, people at the moment are still not as confident yet in these companies. Most people still prefer to pay with their bank and use their services first. Fintech now includes different sectors and industries such as education, retail banking, fundraising and nonprofit, and investment management, just to name a few. Fintech can also include basically any innovation made within the financial sector, including financial education, retail banking, investing, and cryptos. Stock trading apps are an example. Peer-to-peer lending apps, which provides competition for providing even lower interest rates. Online robo-algorithm-based software that provides portfolio management, budgeting tools, wealth management, and any personal finance sort of software or algorithms for keeping track of income and expenses. The four users of fintech are business-to-business for banks, business-to-business for banks' clients, business-to-client for small and medium-sized businesses, and the business-to-client for consumers. Fintech also includes the development and the use of cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin. That segment of fintech may see the most headlines. The big money still lies in the traditional global banking industry and its multi-trillion dollar market capitalization. Fintech now describes a variety of financial activities, such as money transfers, depositing a check with your smartphone, bypassing a bank branch to apply for a credit, raising money for a business startup, or managing your investments, generally without the assistance of a person, of an individual. According to Ernst & Young's 2017 Fintech Adoption Index, 1/3 of consumers utilize two or more fintech services, and those consumers are also increasingly aware of fintech as a part of their daily lives. And because of this massive opportunity, lots of startups have come to scene where around 80 to 90% close within the first 2 years. In Spain, for example, there are over 400 fintech startups right now, according to a Spanish journal called El Referente. According to Scoop, in 2018, there were over 12,100 fintech startups in the world, revealed the statistic data that they used. And with nearly 5,700 startups that year were in North America. And they're basically the leading region globally. Europe, the Middle East, and Africa followed with almost 3,600 companies. Over 40% of fintech startups come from North America. This is probably due to the case that there isn't so much regulation, because, for example, in the European Union, what we have here is first the national regulation, and then we've got the regulation that each country may have, which is different, and then there's the Commission, the European Union, and then, of course, there's the different cultures that each country has, unlike places like in the US. It's a whole national culture, you know, and there's already like 320 something million people living in the US. So, and yeah, sure, they have their own federal regulations and stuff, I guess, but it's It's not the same as in Europe, where we have a diverse variety of different cultures. And in the case of a startup, for example, moving on to some examples I'd love to share with you guys, there's a startup called Affirm. They provide credit to consumers who do online shopping to secure immediate short-term loans for purchases, while at the same time leaving out credit card companies. Even though interest rates may be high, remember the episode about loans? There's a lot of interesting information there about loans. It provides credit to people who may not have good credit scores, but it also helps these people to improve their scores. You get the chance to select your preferred payment method, and they let you know the full cost of the loan, including the interest. So you would pay them monthly, and they would remind you when your next payment is due. Your credit score will not be affected when you check your eligibility, even when they perform a credit check. If you decide to buy with Affirm, your loan and payments may affect your credit score. And if you pay on time, this will help build a positive credit history. Then there's Better Mortgage, who seeks to streamline the mortgage process by eliminating brokers, unnecessary bureaucracy, and any time lags. They do it all within the app, and they give you all the details for the cost of the home, taxes, credit, the principal, the interest, the insurance cost, all that kind of stuff. There are no lender fees and no commissions. And it's a digital-only offering that can reward users with a verified pre-approval letter within 24 hours of applying. Then there's Coinbase, which is an app that I use, which is an online platform for buying, selling, and managing digital currencies that provides users with secure mobile access to their digital assets. So it's for buying stuff like cryptocurrencies. Coinbase supports 32 countries and has exchanged more than $150 billion in various forms of digital currencies, including Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, and Litecoin. Then there's also Acorns, which I find very interesting. Acorns is a micro savings app that works by rounding up your purchases to an even number and investing the difference for you. By linking your credit card and checking account, Acorns reads your spending habits on your credit card, and they round it each to the transaction up to the nearest whole number. It invests change from purchases in a diversified portfolio. Other products and services include IRAs, debit accounts, and informational content that enables users to invest automatically and learn as they go. Then there's the infamous app within the investing and trading space known as Robinhood, which is an investment application that allows users to invest for free from a desktop or mobile device. Because there's no physical locations or individual account management services, Robinhood aims to make investing accessible to would-be traders who can't quite swing the fees of a traditional brokerage house. But how do they make money, you may ask, if there are no fees on Robinhood? Now, Robinhood's story is very interesting, because the stock trading app launched in the shadow of the 2008 crisis when the market bottomed and there was a massive recession. The name comes from the fairy tale character that you may have guessed, Robin Hood, who stole from the rich and gave to the poor. They wanted to focus on user experience and make sure everyone could trade without having to pay fees, which means saving millions, even maybe billions, for customers worth in commissions. Robinhood and all fintech apps is so great because it's all mobile. Everything can be done from the comfort of your phones anytime, anywhere. Now, Robinhood has over 13 million users and is valued at $10.2 billion as of quarter 2, 2020. They make money through something called payment for order flow. Payment for order flow. Essentially, when a person trades on the app, Robinhood sends that trade to a larger entity, which is able to leverage thousands of orders at once for a slight advantage. The larger entity then compensates Robinhood for the orders. For a single trade, Robinhood often receives less than a penny. However, as Robinhood has scaled up to 13 million users, it has started to generate significant amounts from the practice of this method. So basically, the higher the volume in trading, the more money Robinhood makes. Supposedly, the order flow model is supposed to enhance liquidity and facilitate the execution and number of trades realized. But it's not very transparent, it's kind of opaque, and is slightly unclear to fully understand. So that's when the SEC has to come in and regulate. Some doubt on the fairness that the system may have, since trades are provided to entities who are aware of the moves that retail traders are making, and hence they can manipulate the market to their best interest. They're planning on filing an IPO sometime soon, so it might be a great way to finance the business and help them get some cash for improving their own business, as I think they have a pretty interesting future ahead. And there's many more fintech startups that you can check out. The list simply goes on. The opportunity for future growth is priceless. It completely changes the way we deal with our money. And basically, make sure that any fintech, and if maybe you're just thinking about starting a fintech, the company has to be able to solve a problem, provide a great experience for users, that it has loyalty, and of course it has an emotional attachment to those consumers. So it's not so much just of pay and get this reward. It has to be an emotional experience that customers should enjoy. So take into account those things when you're looking or want to invest potentially in a fintech company. So now, let's take a look at what stocks are out there and whether or not they may be a potential buy. So first, there's Square. Square is a company with a lot of long-term potential. This is a company that over the past 5 years experienced a 63.5% annual earnings growth and is forecasted to earn over 57% per year. They've been profitable for three straight quarters now. So COVID has actually helped them accelerate growth. Square Incorporated provides, together with its subsidiaries, payment and point-of-sale solutions in the United States and internationally. The company's commerce ecosystem includes point-of-sale software and hardware that offers sellers to payment and point-of-sale solutions. According to the Motley Fool, the company now processes card payments at an annualized rate of over $100 billion. It has a thriving small business lending platform, Square Capital, and it has started to gain serious traction with larger merchants in addition to its core small business clientele. The Cash App and Square Online Store is Square's main strength. The Cash App enables to send, spend, and store money, and there are 24 million monthly active users heading into 2020 and virtually unlimited potential to build out its consumer financial service offerings. Right now, their price to earnings is 221.41 times bigger, so it's extremely overvalued, and based on discounted cash flow, the stock price is about 450% overvalued, meaning that its current price is at $155, while its fair value should be at approximately $30, which is insane. Then we've got the unmatchable leader in online payments, which is PayPal. Earnings are forecast to grow 21.29% per year, while earnings have grown 16.6% per year over the past 5 years. According to Motley Fool's analysis, its Venmo person-to-person payment platform has emerged as an industry leader and continues to grow its massive user base at a breathtaking pace. PayPal has also been acquiring complementary businesses such as e-commerce tool Honey and has been building up partnerships that could greatly expand its target markets. PayPal has over 325 million active accounts, but CEO Dan Shulman believes that the company can actually grow this figure to a billion in the not too distant future. The COVID-19 pandemic could even help accelerate PayPal's growth, as more people are choosing to shop online and send money to friends and family electronically, again according to Motley Fool's analysis. However, debt has been increasing from 0.8% debt to equity to 50.5% debt to equity over the past 5 years. But 70% of its debt is covered by operating cash flow, which is good because they manage to pay that debt with the money that they make from their services. Their price to earnings is 84.6, so still quite high, while their fair value is $136 and it's currently trading at around $180 per share. So again, it's overvalued approximately between 30 to 36%, according to analysts. And then next, we've got Green Dot. It operates in two segments, account services and processing and settlement services. The company offers deposit account programs such as network-branded reloadable prepaid debit cards under the consumer brand names of GPR cards, consumer and small business checking accounts, network-branded gift cards, secured credit cards, payroll debit cards, and other financial services. The company's debit card business remains a large one, but it's losing market share to companies like Square and PayPal, which offer new and innovative solutions to the same problem. However, Green Dot has started to try to capitalize on its key advantage. It has a banking charter, with moves like introducing a savings account with a 2% yield to Walmart Money Card customers and appointing a highly experienced CEO to head up the banking efforts. Its banking as a service is used by companies such as Apple, Uber, and Stash. And in a nutshell, Green Dot lets companies offer banking products without having to become banks themselves. Think of Apple Pay Cash, for example. Green Dot essentially lets these companies use its banking infrastructure to power their products, and this could be a major growth industry in the future. Their earnings are forecast to grow by over 57% per year, and they've got an excellent balance sheet with very low debt, extremely low debt, but it's overvalued with price to earnings at over 54 and over 57% overvalued in terms of fair value, with the current price trading at 52.78, when fair value should be around $33.5. And finally, we finish off with Mercado Libre, or Mercado Libre, depends how you pronounce, often referred to as the Amazon.com of Latin America. And the nickname certainly makes sense. The company has a massive e-commerce business that continues to grow at an impressive pace. However, it's Mercado Pago payments platform that is most exciting from a fintech perspective. The business processes billions of dollars and payment volume every quarter, and it's growing very fast. And most encouraging thing about it is that it's processing even more payments outside Mercado Libre's e-commerce platform than on it. A partnership with PayPal and lots of potential in the Latin American payment space mean that Mercado Pago's growth can have a meteoric rise in the future. Earnings from Mercado Libre is expected to grow over 62% annually. They've got a brilliant balance sheet, tons of cash, and debt has been decreasing over the past 5 years. But there's bad news. Since people are so hyped by the fact that Mercado Libre can be the next Amazon, and people don't want to have the fear of missing out, it's already trading at $1,214, when fair value should be around $42, according to analysts. They aren't profitable at the moment, and their share price to net asset value, their price to book, is over 33 times greater. It's 33x, meaning that it's extremely overvalued. But, tons of future potential, and they're for sure going to make profits sometime soon. Then there's also, of course, MasterCard, Visa, and even Goldman Sachs, who have plans for the future with consumer finance. In fact, Visa and MasterCard are both trading at below fair value, according to analysts, and of course, have lots of future potential as well as earnings growth. And of course, they're very well-established businesses with a moat, meaning that they have a competitive advantage with respect to the competitors, and of course, many years of experience within the industry. So it's completely up to you what company, what stock you want to invest in. In general, a lot of them are overvalued. So in my opinion, it would be best to maybe wait until the prices drop a bit so that you can buy them at a better price. But nonetheless, if you're very confident and you're willing to take the risk, go ahead. This is not advice. This is just my opinion.
And that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you found this episode interesting. Make sure to subscribe or follow and share this podcast if you haven't already, as I am building a community with expanding reach so that I can make people aware about investing, personal finance, and financial independence. Listen to this episode again to retain knowledge better, because you learn with repetition. Make sure to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and LinkedIn. You can find me as The Audio Investing Podcast, and on LinkedIn, you can find me as Rodrigo Valverde Nuño. Thanks for tuning in. Hope to have you back next time. Have a wonderful day. See you. Bye.